Quest for Gold, episode 30. We are now 133 days away from the Summer Games in Paris. I'm Ryan Burrow. This week, the Associated Press reported a vulcanized rubber track is being manufactured out of northern Italy for the Paris Games, with the expectations that this surface will lead to lots of broken records in track and field. There were more than a dozen records broken in Japan in 2021. The innovations to the surface will help Olympians run faster and jump higher. Congrats to the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They beat Brazil to win the 2024 CONCACAF W Gold Cup Final in San Diego this week. On the men's side, U23 coach Marko Mitrovic named the 22-player team for training in both Spain and France in the lead-up to the Olympics. The U23 team plays Guinea on March 22nd. We learned this week that Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning will co-host the opening ceremony for NBC this summer, and Mike Tirico did ask Jimmy Fallon to help him out with the closing ceremony. We'll see if he says yes. The mayor of Paris this week said she hopes all Russian athletes will be banned from taking part in the Olympics there this summer. However, she would like to see Israeli athletes participate. Russian athletes will not participate under the Russian flag, but may still be eligible to take part in competitions. That will be left up to the IOC. There's been no suggestion that Israel will not be part of the games. In the same interview, the mayor told athletes not to worry about not having air conditioning in their Olympic village, as the city looks to hold a green games that does not include AC. This week on Quest for Gold, we got a chance to chat with weightlifter Jordan De La Cruz. She's hoping in just a matter of weeks to punch her ticket to her second Olympic Games.
Physically, where are you at?
I'm in Georgia. This is where I train and live full time.
Are you in the process of a training cycle right now? Are you constantly training?
So especially as we're getting closer to the Olympics, training is my full-time job. And it actually has been for the last almost a decade, which is crazy. But especially now that we're getting closer, training is rigorous, competing. We're doing that all the time now. But yeah, we're towards the end of qualifiers. So once we're done with our last one, we can now focus on the Olympics and training for that.
Okay, so you are in a very good spot to qualify. Haven't yet, right? So it's not official yet. What do you need to do? What steps do you still need to take?
So we have our last qualifier in Thailand in April. So there, every athlete is going to have their last chance to put up a really high total that would rank them in the world. And my total from Worlds in September of 2023 ranked me pretty high. So I'm actually in a really good spot to where I may not have to put another total up, and I can just focus on the Olympics. But again, we're waiting to see what everyone else does before we can officially announce anything, of course.
Do you qualify yourself, or does the American team say select you as the person to fill that role?
So each country is different. The USA is very objective, so they'll take their top three ranked athletes, one per weight class. So right now, our top three ranking, Olivia, she's our 71, and she's sitting second in the world. So she's our number one American that will go. And then I'm second ranked, tied for fourth. And then we have a super who is ranked third in the U.S., but is ranked fifth in the world. So that's why we kind of know ahead of time, because it is very objective. It's based on ranking. Whoever's the highest will go. There's not a lot of subjectivity to it. So we kind of know after each competition.
Mentally, where does that put you then? I mean, you're not scraping. You're not like, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, have the performance of my life to make this team. I'm sure you don't want to get hurt. That's probably a big part of it. I'm sure you're trying to stay healthy. And but like mentally going into April, kind of where are you at? Where's your mindset?
Yeah, I'm actually coming back from an injury. So this has been such a great opportunity for me to rehab and then also just get stronger. A lot of U.S. athletes are having to go back to back competing and trying to put up their best totals every single time. Each of these competitions is about 12 weeks apart ever since December of 2022. So it's been a rigorous process. And as we're getting towards the end, it's exhausting. Athletes are getting burnt out. And so I feel like I have a very fortunate position to be able to have ranked super high earlier in the qualification period. So now I can just focus on getting stronger and recovering from injuries so that I can focus on the Olympics.
You mentioned the Olympics at the beginning. Obviously, it's something you're thinking about. Is it too overwhelming to put your mindset at the Olympics, or is it good to set the Olympics as a goal for you?
It depends on the day. I think making my second Olympics has always been like the goal for me. And of course, there's so many steps in between before we get to the Olympics. So it helps to focus on those micro goals. But I do think about the Olympics quite often, especially now that we're getting closer.
What are those micro steps?
So qualifying, going to each of these events, you know, we go through pretty rigorous training cycles without an off season. So just getting through each training cycle and each competition as they come.
You know, it's interesting. You talk to athletes and they're trying to perform in one moment at their best. So in training, is it a matter of just repetition, doing the same thing over and over again? Or are you going through cycles where you're trying to ramp up to a certain accomplishment, a certain goal, and then you go back down and then you ramp back up again? How does it work? Why don't you just do the same thing over and over again, basically?
I mean, we kind of do. There's just three lifts. So the snatch, clean, and jerk, there's not much variation. So we do the same thing almost every day. It kind of depends on each athlete's strategy. So for me, I compete in a really lightweight class, which requires that I cut for it. So I don't like to have to chronically cut throughout, you know, 18-month span. So we were very selective of what competitions I would peak for, what competitions I would just show up and weigh in for, you know, depending on what competitions are required. While others are going to every single competition and peaking and trying to do their best total every single time. So it really just does depend on the athlete's strategy, but also just their competitors. The U.S. women's weightlifting team right now is the most talented that I've ever been a part of. Like, there's just so much talent. So then competing with each other is, that's probably the biggest challenge, right? Like, we want to rank pretty high within the world, but in order to do that, you got to be the best American. And sometimes that's a lot harder.
You've got a cheerleading background, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a book. My daughter's a cheerleader, a competitive cheerleader, about goals versus expectations, and a goal is more for, it's a growth mindset. You know, when you fail, it's okay because you learn something. You're trying to achieve an objective, whereas a results mindset is just, I need to do this, and if I don't, I'm going to be super disappointed. Do you play mental games like that with yourself?
Yeah. I work with a psychologist, a sports psychologist, for the last 5 years, maybe. And it's been really helpful to have that resource because weightlifting is such a mental sport. You know, you can do your maximal, your PR lifts multiple times in training, but to execute that on a competition stage, a lot of time it's just your brain that gets in the way. It has nothing to do with your physical preparedness. Yes, I definitely work on my mental health and how I can maximize my potential in competition with mental strategies.
You were in Tokyo with Simone Biles, and I want to get to that in just a second. But when you saw Simone Biles pull out because of mental health, essentially, she had a blockage. Did you get that? Did you understand why she did that? Was that like, oh yeah, I've been in that place before? And
yeah, I always say that as an athlete, I feel like I feel other athletes' feelings like it's my own in a way, because we've all been through highs and lows just throughout our athletic career. And when I heard that Simone Biles pulled out, it was this weird type of understanding. Of course, it was shocking. This is the Olympics, right? No one expected that. And we don't see, you know, the ins and out of her training. So it was surprising, but there was this level of understanding and empathy that I could have towards her, because it is really hard. I think a lot of people think of an athlete's physical attributes, and a lot of times it's their mental strength that really like sets them apart from everyone else.
Sure. I want to talk about Tokyo because that was your first Olympics and probably one of the weirdest Olympics we've ever seen, just as far as all of the restrictions. Obviously, we're in the middle of COVID at that time. You probably couldn't enjoy it as a normal Olympics. But, you know, tell me kind of about what you took away from it and what it was like to at least, you know, say you were an Olympian.
I mean, it's an honor. It's a goal. It's a dream come true. But I think my experience, it was very different. Just again, because of COVID, I was the first weightlifter to go. So I was at the Olympic Village by myself, and my teammates didn't actually get there until I left. And we had to leave within, I think it was within 24 hours of competing. And I'm also day one of the Olympics too. So I didn't actually get to watch any other sports or go to opening or closing ceremony. So that was a lot of motivation to commit to a second quad, because even though I have the title, I got to the highest, I guess, level, you could say, in sport, I felt like there was this experience that I did not get. And it was pretty unsatisfying, but also very motivating.
Looking forward, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but looking forward to Paris. Do you want to have that true Olympic experience? Do you want to rub elbows with athletes from other sports, other Americans? Yeah, obviously, family can come this time around. I assume that's some of the things that are motivating you.
Yeah, that's a lot of it, actually. Of course, I care about how I perform, but I'm more so just so excited that we're going to have a crowd in the stage, like in the auditorium. All my friends, my family is going to be there. We already have plans to explore the city afterwards. Like, I'm just really excited. I do want to see other sports, because I think that's such a cool experience, being in the games environment, is being with others, being around athletes from different sports, and just talking about like everyday training, like how did we get here? And of course, everyone's journey is so different, especially from sport to sport. But that's such a cool part, and you don't get that really anywhere else.
Have you been to Paris before or no?
I have. Well, we did a training camp last summer to prepare for Worlds, and we got to see a little bit of the Olympic Village. They didn't let us go in, but we got to see where weightlifting will be held. We got to see some of the hotels that our coaches and family and friends can stay at. We got to explore the city and all that. But I was cutting for a competition, so I have not yet had a croissant in Paris, so I don't really feel like I've been to Paris.
You're 25 years old right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were 21, 22 when you went to Tokyo?
22, yeah, and I'll be 26 before Paris.
You'll be 20. Well, mm-hmm. What's the difference between Jordan now versus Jordan, either training then, you know, the mental focus? I tend to talk to a lot of athletes the first time around, they're starstruck. Like, I'm going to the Olympics, it's exciting. Second time, it's like, okay, not only do I want to get to the Olympics, but I want to do some damage there. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a focus, I think, than the second time around. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I also just feel like my intentions are a little different too. Like, you know, there's a lot of other things that are important for me to experience going into my second Olympics. But I would say the difference between 2022 Jordan and current Jordan is just I feel a lot more mature as an athlete. I feel like I can handle the waves, the up and downs of sport a lot better, which has made weightlifting a lot more fun. I'm enjoying what I do, and that's a really great place to be in.
What is a snatch and what is a clean and jerk?
Okay, so a snatch is where you move the bar from ground to overhead in one consistent movement. Clean and jerk is very similar, except you take the bar from ground to overhead in the front rack position, and then from there you'll do a jerk, which is when you throw it over your head, and a lot of athletes will do like a split. Snatches are lighter, and then clean and jerks are typically heavier, and in a competition setting, you get three attempts in snatch and three attempts in clean and jerk, and your total is the best of each.
So you're making six lifts.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose if you're in a good shape, maybe you don't have to make a last lift, or no? They combine all of them?
Yeah, that rarely happens. Because usually everyone plans for their third attempt to be their, like, you know, a personal record or even higher. Usually the openers are a more conservative number, something you can do in training no matter what. Second attempt prepares you for your third attempt. And if everything goes well, you make your third attempts.
So we brought up earlier that you were in competitive cheer before. How did this transition to weightlifting come to be?
Surprisingly, it's a very common background for a lot of elite weightlifters to have a gymnastics or competitive cheer background. Some of our best lifters do have that experience before transitioning into weightlifting. For me, I actually did a CrossFit class with my mom in the summer to kind of help with like my strength in cheerleading. And from there, I met the CrossFit coach was also a weightlifting coach. So he was able to very quickly point out my strengths and was like, hey, I think you should commit to this full time. You are really talented. And yeah, that's what I did. That decision seemed really easy for me to make.
And to give up cheerleading and to join weightlifting. I can imagine that yeah. Some, you know.
Yeah, there's, of course, there's a lot of stuff that goes with that. But this gym was very, you know, there were a lot of women there. There weren't many women that were of my age, but I felt like I was in a really good environment and everyone supported me. Like, you know, CrossFit gyms just kind of have a different environment than like a 24-hour fitness or Lifetime. So it was a pretty comfortable transition, but I do see how a woman stepping into the gym can be extremely intimidating.
How does someone get into competitive weightlifting in the U.S.? Because it's not a high school sport that I'm aware of. Is it a club thing? Is it just gyms competing against each other? How does that? What is the current ecosystem around weightlifting in the U.S.?
So it is very club based. Yeah, most people who do weightlifting, it's like their second sport. It's not, you know, no one really grows up in weightlifting, at least when I got into it. Now we're starting to see more youth lifters in weightlifting. But what you do is you go to a local meet, and then that total that you do there would qualify you for a national event. And from nationals, you go to international events, etc. It's very individual based, but a lot of gyms will have like their own teams where everyone trains together and they'll compete. But it individually, like your total is what will project you into the next level if you choose to do that.
How competitive is USA weightlifting on the world stage? Who are some of the favorites at a lot of these competitions?
So historically, USA weightlifting has not been very competitive. But then around 2017, especially women's weightlifting started to get really competitive. And now, in order to make the Olympics on the women's side, you have to be at least ranked like top five. You know, some of our men on their side have to just be ranked top 10. So it's very competitive. The top countries that like I know of that I compete with, they're China, India, Romania. Chinese weightlifting has always been historically like the best teams from like worldwide. But yeah, I would say weightlifting is a lot more popular in other countries than the U.S. So a lot of their they've just been doing it for a lot longer than we have.
Kind of an unfortunate thing. It doesn't sound like weightlifting is on the LA 2028 program as of now. Obviously, you probably don't like that, but I mean, are there efforts being made to try to get it on the program?
Yeah, so it actually is on the program now.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. Wipe that out. It was not before, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So kind of walk me through what happened with 2028 then.
So the IOC basically put weightlifting in probation. One of the issues, or the main issue we were having, was just too many positive drug testings. So we had to clean up our federation. So the IOC says, you know, last time we got to send four women, four men, so eight full team. This time around, we can only send three women, three men, so six. So we're going to have a reduction in athletes competing at the Olympics. And also 2028 participation was on probation until we cleaned up our federation. And because of the efforts of some amazing people, we were able to do that. We were able to clear most of the board clean that I know of, and do implement better policies to regulate doping use. So that's my understanding of it as an athlete. Obviously, I don't have all the like insights, but that's what I've gathered.
I talk to every athlete and I ask them the same questions. I assume you have the USADA app and you have to let people know. Do you get tested, do you think, more frequently than tennis players and basketball players? Do you feel like they really target you as an athlete more than other sports?
I can't say for sure because I don't know what other sports do or what other athletes do, but I do know we get tested nearly once a month. As we get close to competition, it'll be twice a month. We for sure get tested in competition. So it is a very prevalent thing in my life.
when people hear about the doping, they think about, you know, steroid needles in arms and stuff like that. But it sounds like it's a lot more complex. You're trying to put your body in a good place, and sometimes it oversteps the line. You seem to think that it's in a pretty clean place right now. No one's got an advantage over anyone else.
I would say, I mean, it's all speculation, right? I would say we're making a lot of progress. I do have my suspicions about certain countries, but not enough to be able to say anything specifically.
Sure. Have there been any funny tests? Like, have you gotten the call or a knock at the door when you were on vacation or about to take a test or something like that?
Yeah, I have a lot of those. I'll tell you my recent one. We ended up doing Thanksgiving dinner, not on Thanksgiving. And so as I was like helping prep all the food, Denise, my USADA lady, comes in and I have to sit for about 30 minutes because we're also getting blood drawn. It's this whole thing. And I've got like my potatoes burning. Like, it's just, it was a mess, but it was really funny. And I invited her to eat with us.
How do you make money? Do you have sponsorship? Do you have a job? Like, how does this get funded? Because I'm sure that it's not cheap.
Yeah, so we do have sponsors, and then also our NGB will pay us a stipend dependent on if you qualify. So every stipend procedure is a little different. But for the last several years, just because I've been able to rank high enough, I have been able to get a very nice stipend from our NGB plus any kind of sponsorships.
This is a full-time job for you, right?
Yes, it is my full-time job.
every day, no breaks, maybe a little bit of breaks here and there just to get your body to heal. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah, this is what I've been doing. I've attended university. I got my undergrad through an online format, which was really great for my training schedule and also traveling. I can take my school with me to wherever I'm going. So I've been able to do that, but mostly this is what I've just been doing full time.
What do you think about 2028? I mean, it's being in LA, talking to a lot of athletes, like, I want to do that. I definitely want to compete in front of my home country. I mean, is that something that's entered your mind, or are you just trying to take it day by day at this point?
Definitely day by day. If I ever make that decision, it would be a lot closer to when our qualifications start, which would probably be within 18 months. Like I said, it's a rigorous process. It takes a lot out of each athlete. And to think about committing to that now is a wild idea. So
what is kind of the peak age for weightlifting? Are you in the middle of it right now? Or does it tend to skew older or younger?
Yeah, I would say peak age is around mid-20s, more so how long you've done weightlifting. So I would say the average is about a decade, maybe a little bit more. Anything past that, your body is just not too happy with you. And that's the other thing. Every athlete wants to go out on their own terms. So I would have to be in a place where I feel like my body could handle another qualification period.
It's one of those sports, too, where you can't exactly start. You know, you get a basketball player, volleyball player started when they were 6 years old, 7 years old. You really can't start hard weight training till you're what, high school, middle school, maybe?
I think that depends. Definitely, you can't just like start throwing heavy weights immediately, right? Like, it's a whole progression. So whenever you start that progression, I imagine is when you can dictate that on an individual basis.
So what do you do to mentally focus before a competition? Do you do music, meditation, prayer? What is kind of your routine?
I read a lot. I think I like to keep my mind off things. So any kind of shows or reading that I can do. When we're in the back room, I do like to listen to some music or just kind of feel like I'm a part of the space, but I'm not like hearing every single conversation, right? Like, I don't want to completely block everything out.
Soft music, or are you going like hard heavy metal? amp somewhere up kind of music, between. Maybe a both.
Somewhere in between.
Thank you, Jordan. You can follow her on Instagram at Jordan14. That's JOURDANNN_14. That'll do it for Quest for Gold this week. We'll see you back here next week when we talk field hockey. I'm Ryan Burrow. So long.